All right, we are back for the 2016 season of One True Podcast, where we talk Baylor, we talk Big 12 football. Sometimes we throw a little other fun football stuff in there. You never know what you might get at the end. There's always a curveball there at the end, John. I'm Bryce Cherry, along with John Werner, and we're happy to introduce Tony Adame. I'm saying that right?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yes. Tony comes to us from the Wichita Eagle, and brand new at the Trib. We're glad, Tony, to have you here. Covering a lot of high school football, but, you know, probably help us out some on Baylor as well.
Happy to be in Texas. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah. So let's talk a little football. After perhaps the longest, most tumultuous offseason in Baylor football history, I think that goes without saying, game week is finally here. The Bears will open up the 2016 season on Friday at home against Northwestern State, a familiar opponent there. John, this week the Baylor players, it seemed like they could hardly contain their excitement over, you know, having a game to talk about rather than something else. You know, how much do you think this team just needs a game to play?
Yeah, I think they're just ecstatic to be able to play a football game because, you know, the last 2 months they've just been pummeled with, you know, questions about the sexual assault case just anywhere they went. And, yeah, to get a chance to play, you know, just to see what this team looks like. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how everything comes together with Coach Grobe just getting here 3 months ago, how he's going to be able to work with the with Briles, former assistants, you know, just the players getting used to Coach Grobe and gosh, I think it's going to be really interesting.
And obviously there's a lot of players on this team, the players that are still around, who had nothing to do with some of the things that got Baylor into the headlines. And so they've kind of been swept up in this, and they've got to be just, you know, yeah, you could just see it on their faces on Monday, and then they did some more interviews today where you know, they're raring to go. I mean, to play an actual football game after, I mean, it just seemed like this offseason just dragged on forever. Tony, I'd kind of be interested in hearing your perspective a little bit. Obviously, this was a national story, this sexual assault scandal at Baylor. Got headlines all over the place. As someone who was kind of watching it from outside of Waco, but yet, you're still up there in Big 12 country. You know, how is this program kind of being viewed?
I think right now the perception is that, you know, there's a big question out there. Is this a program that kind of sold its soul to get, you know, become one of the national powers? And what ends did they go to make sure that they were, you know, one of the nation's best teams? And I think the fallout now is that it's looked at like a program that's in flux. I think a lot of people look at Grobe just as a stopgap, mm-hmm. that they're going to take a shot at somebody like Herman from Houston next year. It's really, you know, what do they do next? You know, the article you wrote, Bryce, just a couple months ago about how they had one of the better recruiting classes in the country, that, you know, that set them up for the future, but now that's gone. Most of those kids bounce. So it's just, what's going to happen next? Can they sustain this success? I think that's the biggest question.
Yeah, and I think that influx thing is right on point. I mean, you know, to me, this season isn't even the one that I'm most interested to see how it all plays out. Like, down the road, when you're really counting on those recruits that you would have had coming in, I mean, that's, John, that's where, you know, they could really take a hit.
Yeah, I mean, they lost half their recruiting class this year. They're down to two commitments for 2017. And, you know, nobody wants to commit now because they don't know who the coach is going to be in December.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're probably just going to have to take whatever's left, you know, in December and January and just try to pull a class together somehow. So, you know, it would be tough seeing them not sliding some.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, in a couple years. But, you know, I do think this class is still pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Grobe, he kind of, you know, I think they're better than he probably expected, especially after they lost the top guys from this class. And it looks like about six of them are going to play right off the bat.
Yeah, and that's impressive given what Baylor has coming back. I mean, they still have some pieces in place to be a pretty good team. Obviously, here at the start, game one, very much a layup for Baylor in terms of opponent, Northwestern State. Knowing that this game is going to be a blowout, either one of you guys, I mean, what are you most interested in seeing from a Baylor perspective?
Yeah, I think mainly just seeing how it all comes together, you know, because they've been saying that they're on a mission this year, that, you know, they've kind of circled the wagons. They, you know, just kind of an us against the world mentality is what they're saying. And I want to see if it really plays out on the field, mm-hmm. You know, that they will come out there with a sense of purpose. I mean, I think that'll be very interesting. You know, I don't know if you can tell a whole lot from this game, but I think you'll at least be able to see something toward that.
Tony, you'll be out at a high school game on Friday night, which we are not big fans of Friday night Baylor games. But, you know, I'm sure you'll probably get to see some highlights of the game at some point. You know, what are you curious about?
Yeah, you know, I'll DVR it and watch the whole thing. I think, knowing that it's going to be a blowout probably, the thing that I'm curious to see is what's the atmosphere going to be like in McLean Stadium? Mm-hmm. You know, just being around Waco, talking to people about, you know, how they feel about Briles leaving, how their approach to this kind of new setup is. I want to see how they react. I mean, you see their season ticket, the holders, they're mm-hmm. still buying tickets. People are still going to come to games. What's that atmosphere going to be like in the stadium?
I'm real interested in seeing O-line, D-line, how those shape up. Obviously, against Northwestern State, they're probably going to be able to control both sides of the ball there in the trenches, you know, against that kind of an opponent. But the other thing I'm really interested in seeing is Seth Russell and how he reacts his first game in forever. You know, that first hit that he takes. You're talking about a guy coming off neck surgery. I mean, he was in a, what are those things? Those collars, you know, I mean, for a while. And, you know, last year he was playing at a Heisman level. Mm-hmm. I mean, truthfully. And then obviously he gets hurt. Baylor gets to the meat of its schedule. You know, it would have been fun to see Seth against the meat of that schedule last year. But so I'll be real just, you know, curious to see how he performs. Around the Big 12, Oklahoma is a school that does not have a layup in its opener. Sooners travel to Houston to play the 13th-ranked Cougars. Tom Herman's team is coming off an incredible 13-1 season. And no doubt U of H would kind of love to, you know, win this game, put out its case a little bit more for Big 12 inclusion. They've been obviously talked about as a target for expansion. Our boss, big Sooner fan, Steve Boggs, already predicting a Oklahoma loss in this one. How do you guys see it playing out?
Well, I wonder if OU had any idea Houston was going to be this good when they scheduled this game.
Oh, I'm sure not.
Because they've already got Ohio State on their schedule
right.
in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably quite a surprise that, you know, they played such a good team. But, you know, I really like the Sooners this year. You know, they got Baker Mayfield coming back. I think they've, you know, Samaje Perine. I mean, a really good team. They've got a good defense coming back. And, you know, even though it's in Houston, it's at NRG Stadium, I think there's going to be a lot of Sooner fans there. So I don't think it'll be a big home field edge for Houston. I think, you know, I believe Oklahoma's 10.5-point favorite for this.
That seemed a little high.
I do. I think it's going to be about a touchdown game. But I think the Sooners will win.
You know, I think with Houston, you make a good point about this. Making a case to be in the Big 12. If you're Houston, obviously you're going in there thinking you want to win, but the one thing you can't do is get blown out.
Right.
You're going to make such a good case for yourself if you, you know, play them close, play them within a touchdown even. That's going to show the world that you're a team that could play on this level, and that's what you need to do. So for them, I mean, I'm with John. I think Mayfield is just, you know, he's a Heisman guy. And for Houston, you just want to go in there, and obviously they think they can win, but from the outside, you just don't want to get blown out. You don't want this to be an embarrassment, because that'll really hurt your case, actually.
Yeah, you know, another guy that you know, maybe a Heisman dark horse is Greg Ward, Houston's quarterback. I'm sure he'd be looking at this game also as kind of a showcase opportunity. However, I'm just kind of parroting what you guys are saying in terms of Oklahoma. I'm high on the Sooners this year. I disagree with Steve. I think they win this game. Baker Mayfield is incredible. You know, he's just so slippery. You know, I mean, I think that's what sort of separates him as a quarterback is just his ability to extend plays and make things happen, you know, kind of Manziel style. So I think OU wins this game. I think it really bolsters the Sooners, you know, playoff hopes early on. Now, like you said, John, they've still got another gauntlet of a non-conference game to go through in Ohio State. But, man, if you run through that non-conference table and then, you know, the Big 12, possibly win the Big 12, you know, you've set yourself up pretty well.
You know, you lose a game to Houston like that, you can almost essentially say you're out of the national championship, the playoff race, almost in the first week of the season. I feel like you can lose to Ohio State, and beat Houston, and then run the table and still make a playoff case. And you look back at a loss to a team outside of those power conferences, that's really going to hurt you.
Yeah, but I will say I do feel like early losses are easier to overcome than later losses. And I tell you, if they lost to Houston and turned around and beat Ohio State, you kind of put yourself back in the mix. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. Another big opening game for the Big 12, you know, I guess it's big. Notre Dame goes to Austin to play Texas. And, you know, we've talked a lot about it. Charlie Strong's chair couldn't be any hotter. Texas finished out of bowl contention last year in his second season. And the Irish just cruised in this game last year. It was 38-3 in South Bend. And, you know, Texas still has questions kind of swirling at quarterback. I think they think Shane Buechele, you know, probably going to be the guy. But what are the odds that the Longhorns pull off the stunner?
I'm going to say 10% maybe.
10%.
I'm just not really sold on them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they hadn't even announced their starting quarterback, although I guess Charlie Strong knows who it's going to be. They haven't announced it publicly. And, you know, even so, I mean, I think probably Shane Buechele is going to be a good quarterback, but he is a true freshman.
Right.
And I've never been impressed by Tyrone Swoops.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So I think it's probably going to be Buechele, but, gosh, what a tough opening game for him.
Okay.
I mean, if he does start. But, you know, Notre Dame's had some off-the-field problems this year, but I don't see them losing to Texas.
Yeah, I'd say slim to none. I've watched Texas play a lot the last few years, just like you guys. I watched Notre Dame play a lot, and you just don't make up that difference in one off season. And, you know, talking about those guys that got in trouble, it looks like out of the four guys that got arrested, only the one that got charged with the two felonies is the only one that's going to have to sit out.
Okay.
So three of those guys are still going to be in there, and it's just, you know, if you watch Texas play, you have to have very little confidence in Strong and what he's done to, you know, kind of build that program back up, which isn't a whole lot.
I think, you know, Texas is still in its third year under Charlie Strong. It's still trying to figure out who it is, you know. Mm-hmm. Still trying to kind of come up with an identity on offense. And defensively, they're pretty good. And they did sneak up and beat some teams last year that we certainly didn't expect. I mean, you know, beating Oklahoma, beating Baylor, you know. I mean, so they had a few marquee wins. Obviously, beating Notre Dame would be a huge marquee win, but I am completely in agreement with you guys. I do not see it happening. I personally, in our picks, I didn't pick Texas to go to a bowl game again, and so I think, obviously, we know what happens there. Charlie Strong out the door. One last little question.
Oh,
just
boy.
Going off the map here. So, like I said, we got Tony here. He's new, but not new to covering football. So, I mean, my question for you, Tony, is just best football game you've ever seen or covered.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, best football game I've ever seen or covered. High school, I can go twofold there. High school, I saw a game where Wichita State's power forward, a kid named Evan Wessel, who You know, it was great for them. Never caught a pass in high school. Caught two passes as part of a 30-point comeback for Wichita Heights High School to win it. And then, man, this is one that I saw Kansas State play when RG3 was there. They were winning the year they won the Big 12 championship. Arthur Brown, Kansas State's great linebacker, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Him and RG3 went mano a mano that game. It was in Manhattan.
Was a great game, yeah.
He picked him off. Then he sacked him in the fourth quarter to pretty much seal the win. And, you know, that was just something to see because Arthur Brown was from Wichita, from where I'm from, and covered him in high school. And just to watch him on that stage and in that atmosphere was pretty incredible.
How about you, John Boy?
Wow, best ever.
Best ever.
Wow. You know, I'd have to say college game, probably that Baylor-Oklahoma game in 2011.
Yep.
RG3 throws the winning touchdown with, what was it, about 5 seconds left to Terrence Williams.
Yeah.
Fantastic game. And that pretty much clinched the Heisman for Robert.
I would agree with you. I can't remember a better, just start to finish, that game was incredible. The atmosphere was blackout game, wasn't it? Wasn't it a blackout game?
No, not that one.
Not that one, okay.
It might have been the next year.
Next year, yeah, was the blackout one. That one was really good, too.
For a couple years, yeah.
That was just... And, you know, Stoops... what did he call a timeout, right? Before Baylor got the ball, that gave them a little bit more time.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you thought... I mean, Bryles said it after the game that they were going to possibly play for overtime, and then they completed a pass that got them to midfield, and then he was like, okay, well, maybe we'll take a shot. They took a shot. It worked out pretty well for Baylor. It was Robert's Heisman moment, no doubt.
No question. You know, and obviously the TCU-Baylor game.
That was a good one, too.
61-58.
61-58.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was quite a comeback. So we've seen some good ones. Hopefully we see a few more this year.